The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, everybody, we are live. And no Casey on the ones and twos today. He is in the LBC for the Bellator 286 festivities. An event we'll certainly be talking about on this live UFC Vegas 61 and Bellator 286 preview show on MMA Fighting. That's right, the UFC and Bellator essentially going head-to-head tomorrow. The UFC is bringing a pivotal strawweight main event between Mackenzie Dern and Yan Xiaonan to the Apex, while Bellator counters with the featherweight title fight between Patricio Pitbull and Adam Borich. I am Mike Heck. As you can see, I'm joined by the great Jose Youngs and the Prince of Positivity, Alexander K. Lee. Jose, I'll begin with you. The UFC card here has some fun competitive matchups, no doubt about it. Main event has stakes, for sure, and we like all of those things. And there's certainly potential for some really fun, quote-unquote, bangers on this card. But on paper, top to bottom, there is no discussion here. Bellator is the better card, does it not?
I think if you go from the prelims to the top of the card, the UFC is better, but the top three fights on Bellator are more intriguing than any of the fight. Even the top four are more intriguing than any of the other fights on the UFC card. I think it's just a clash of, like, do you want, because like Christoph Jocko is a name, Brendan Allen's a name, Alexei Oleinik is going for the UFC heavyweight submission record, like Randy Costa is popular, Julius Stolyarenko is coming off a big win, like these are all names that people know in the UFC. I would hazard a guess that outside of like Max and maybe who Lance Gibson Jr. is on the prelims, I know for Bellator, like I would hazard a guess that most people can't name five people on the Bellator prelim card. So top to bottom, UFC's better, but those top four Bellator fights are pretty fantastic.
Agreed. AK, what do you think? And how does the gymnastic scale read here? What's the difference between the two?
Oh gosh, I was saying before the show, full disclosure, I've been diving real deep into the Vegas card. I probably have not been giving this Bellator card the attention it deserves. I have been listening to all the conversations. I know a lot of people saying the Bellator card is stronger top to bottom. This UFC card is weird. It's weird the way, like, I don't want to say bad. Not to say that there aren't bad UFC cards. I'm one of the first people to tell you that, like, there are such a good thing as good UFC shows and bad UFC shows. I don't subscribe to the, as long as the UFC, it's good. And it's the cards we don't talk about that turn out to be great, blah, blah. I don't subscribe to that at all. I just didn't want to dismiss this one so quickly until I took a deeper dive into it. But I mean, just at a glance, Bellator has to have the edge here. I mean, there's just more intriguing names top to bottom, people who are, like, I would view as contenders in their promotion. The UFC card, at least according to the MMA Fighting Global rankings, the only rankings that matter, there's only two ranked fighters and they're in the main event. Mackenzie Dern and Yan Xiaonan, two top 10 strawweights. Other than that, I don't even think we have that many Favs. I don't think there's a lot of fighters who are even registering and receiving votes here. Julia Stolyarenko, maybe. Christoph Jocko, maybe. Other than that, again, no disrespect to the fighters in this UFC card. It's kind of this weird smorgasbord of up-and-comers, some replacements. A lot of these are sort of were not the originally scheduled bouts. They're kind of got shuffled, 4 or 5 weeks out. It's an interesting, or in the case of Don Shaynis, like very last minute. So it's an interesting, weirdly thrown together card. There's also a big gap between this one and the next card, right? 2 weeks. So it's weird. It's just in the middle of nowhere. And I think that's how people feel about it too, is it almost feels like they can kind of skip this one on the road to the next card on the 15th. And of course the massive, massive pay-per-view coming up on October 22nd. So gymnastic scale, I mean, Bellator is maybe up a full point. Like, I mean, Bellator is, I think if everything works out great and they have great fights, this could be 8.5, 8.6 card degree of difficulty. UFC definitely below 8. I'm saying even if everything goes great, I don't know if it's a card that we'll be discussing too much in the near future once it's over.
Yeah. And again, let me just put this out there. Saying a card isn't great on paper doesn't mean it's not fun. There are fun fights on this UFC card. They're really fun fights. This has the kind of mix that you're looking for a UFC card. We have a main event with stakes. We have low-key bangers. We have fights we know are going to be good. And there's going to be highlight reel finishes on this card. So at the end of it, we're going to be like, oh, that was a fun watch. But heading in, just looking at what is being put together, it's just like, these are just fun fights, but there just aren't a lot of stakes outside of the main event. But we're going to start at the UFC. They will hit the airwaves first. Their prelims start at 4 p.m. Eastern. Their main cards at 7 p.m. Eastern. Bellator, 7 p.m., 10 p.m. Eastern. So, Jose, no fans, no media inside the UFC Apex for this card, UFC Vegas 61. By the way, do you have any thoughts on this? To me, it's just kind of, I'm just curious as to why this is on the Otman Azaitar, what's in the bag kind of platform for me, where it's not going to
be on is on the same level as like, what did the Boston Celtics former head coach do? Like, just tell me.
It's probably like a step below that. I don't. Yeah,
100% it is.
But I mean, you cover almost all of our events when we send people out on the road. So hearing this, and we've heard some of the theories that are out there, but is this something that you're like, that you care about, or what was your reaction to finding out that nobody's going to be able to get in there?
Well, I've been hearing rumblings like leading up, and I'm not going to say what they are because they all like the big rumor that everyone's heard, I was hearing like a week before the rumor started to leak out. I'm like, that's very bizarre, but whatever. It's not like this is a pay-per-view that we're missing out. You know what I'm saying? And like for fight nights, if you haven't covered a fight night and like you're watching this and you're like a young reporter, it's like the same three or four media people back there. And maybe one or two of them ask questions at these scrums. So the scrums are maybe 3 minutes max. Like, I'm looking at the card. Like, if Julia Stolyarenko wins, her scrum will be maybe 2-3 minutes. And Dana probably isn't even speaking to the media on fight nights because he speaks to the media every Tuesday, and he just spoke to them on Tuesday after the Bo Nickel fight. So this would be a lot more alarming if it was, say, like Dillashaw at Sandhagen or like Holloway Yair, like a big main event like that. But I think it's annoying that we can't be there because we should be there. We should be able to ask questions, but I'm not losing sleep over it for this one.
That makes sense. It's just very bizarre and out of left field. So yeah. I'm just curious as to why.
And if they told us and they're like, hey, we're not letting people in because ABC, and there's like a logical reason, then so be it. But
yeah,
you know,
just tell us what tell the damn us. Reason is. Yeah.
Correct. Maybe they can't.
Touche. But maybe we'll find out tomorrow. AK, what do you think about all of this? I haven't gotten your thoughts on this. Is this strange? Do you care at all?
I definitely care. I think the last thing that Jose says, the most important part, is like how the media should have the option. I'm sure there's people, you know, who've heard us talk about this story this week and go like, oh, well, you guys are always complaining. There's too many cards. And like, even now, criticizing the quality of the card. Well, if you don't want to watch it, then congratulations. Dana did you a favor. Dana kind of joked about that earlier this week. He was saying like, oh, I'm just giving you guys the day off. You guys work too hard. And so it was very tongue in cheek. I saw some people, I think, like pick up that story as like, and take his quotes directly. And like, he was joking. Whatever the reason is, to not give the media the option is so bizarre, and to not say why. Now, this again, this is nothing really new with the UFC. Let's be honest, getting a straight answer from the man is always very touch and go. There's some things he's super forthcoming about. There's some things he'll never give the answer to. What was in the bag and on Fight Island, you know, things like that. What was he doing back? What was the fight, Jose, that he couldn't put the belt on the person back? It was backstage.
Francis.
Say it again. Yeah.
Francis. Yeah. Right. We'll never know. Just stuff happens, and he's kind of giving people the same runaround this week. It's like,
Where was he in July?
We don't know. We don't know, right? This and then and we'll never get those answers because him and only probably a few people in his inner circle know. So at this point, it's kind of, I admit, it's a bit of a shame that some of us in the media. I'll just speak for myself. I don't want to say everyone. Myself, like I've accepted that. Oh, okay, this is just how things are, and that shouldn't be the way it is. And listen, it's very likely. Maybe it isn't a big deal on Saturday that there is some just weird logistical reason why they chose not to have media this week. And again, maybe we'll forget about this by the end of the year. But whatever the reason is, we should know. We should
know. Can media like virtually call in?
I don't think so.
Because if that was the – like, you see, that sucks. If we weren't allowed in the building, but they did like pandemic style where they brought into a room in front of a camera, fine. That's great. Because then a lot of people could call in.
Yeah, what I don't understand is who's doing the. They said so. What they're going to do is they're going to do the normal post-fight interviews they do with fighters, and they're just going to do them a little bit longer. Who's doing them? I guess just
I would imagine it's like UFC. The UFC.com has a team that you see a lot of their, like they win, they go through the car wash, and usually the last stop is like UFC.com, and they stand there with the microphone, like the fighter talks and like holds the microphone. So I bet it's like that, and they ask the same questions that we all ask.
Sure. So with respect, you know, but either way, with respect to the fine people at UFC.com, it would be nice for the media that is not employed by the UFC to have the option to ask some questions. But, you know, just for anyone watching, we'll have coverage. We'll have coverage. We'll have quotes. Just know it won't really be coming directly from us. It'll be coming directly from the UFC.
Hit me up if you want to do a post-fight interview. We'll make it happen. But Jose, Mackenzie Dern, Yan Zhonan, this main event for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Clearly, both women need this one badly if they want to get to a title shot. What are your thoughts on this main event? You are the fan of high-level martial arts more than storyline and anything else. Does this one check all the boxes for you?
Yeah, I'd say so. This is a really fun fight for the women's strawweight division, considering we have that big title fight coming up. And then after that, there's really no huge clear cut. I guess Marina Rodriguez is still trying to get her fight, right? Does she have a fight booked, or did her fight fall apart?
She's fighting Amanda Lemos as of right
that's
now.
That's right. Did that, and that got rescheduled at some point, right?
Yeah, no, like November 5th.
Yeah, so I would imagine, like, especially if Marina wins, she's probably getting the title shot, because Carla Esparza, who's the champion right now, even said like Marina Rodriguez deserves a title shot right now. So I guess that would make sense, but this is more of a placeholder, I guess, for a lot. Maybe the winner of this goes on to a number one contender fight and gets like another big name, especially if it's Mackenzie Dern. I feel like the UFC has been really wanting her to fight for the title for a long time. She had that fight of the night, lost to Marina, and before that she had just lost to Amanda Ribas, but she had just had her daughter. So she was like her first fight, and after like her 9-month pregnancy, and it was a pretty quick, like she had her baby and then like, well, a couple months later, she was fighting Amanda Ribas, that was in that Florida card. So I feel like if she wins, she's probably going to get a number one contender shot. And if Yan Zhonan wins and Zhang Weili wins, you know, could have an all-Chinese title fight. I think the UFC and obviously really wants to break into that region of the world. And I think that would obviously be really, really big deal, especially if they could hold it over there. Whether that can happen, I'm not sure, but they could probably go back to Singapore or something next year. I know there's been rumblings of going to more Asian markets, especially with this Road to the Octagon show that they're doing. There's a lot of fighters from India, Asia, Thailand. They're going to want to break ground into that. So I feel like if those two women fought, it would be like the perfect headliner for like one of those fight nights there. But it's a great fight regardless, because Yan Zhonan just lost Marina, if I remember correctly, and I think that was a split decision loss. That was at 272. Was that March? I want to say, was that the Colby Covington card? Yeah, so that was recently. So yeah, great fight. I like this main event. I'm happy it's a main event. Happy we get to see both women in five rounds.
AK, who do you think needs this one more? Because we kind of laid it out here. Dern lost to Marina, and she was probably a win away from getting a title fight. And that was a pretty lopsided win for Marina. And then Dern beats Tisha Torres. I was there. A lot of people thought Tisha won that fight. And then for Jan, loses the very close decision to Marina Rodriguez. A lot of people felt like Jan won that fight. And then she got pretty much trucked by Carla Esparza. So who needs this one more? You can make an argument for both women, I think.
Yeah, I'll lean towards Dern. I just think Dern's the more hyped fighter, so her reputation takes a bigger hit if she loses. It's her second main event. People are really looking at her as a title challenger. I really have been, obviously, since she first decided, hey, I'm going to get into MMA. She had those amazing jiu-jitsu credentials, and everyone's saying, hey, you know, if this she's very marketable, she can put it together. UFC has a real star in her hands. So she's going to have more pressure on her in almost every matchup that she's in. This one, I can see why people would lean towards Jan. As we said, she's lopsided loss to Carla, very close loss to Marina Rodriguez. But I don't think a third loss, even if it's like a first round submission, even if it's like a convincing win, super convincing win for Dern. I don't think Jan gets released. I don't think she'll be 0-3 and out. I think she'll get another chance. She's a pretty strong performer. Like, I don't want to say like the most super exciting fighter, but has a pretty appealing stand-up style. And again, has given tough fights to the best of best in the division. So it's not the deepest division in the UFC. They should keep names like her around. So I'm not sure what her contract status is, but I think as long as she has fights left, or as long as she's willing to work on something reasonable with the promotion, they'll keep her around, win or lose. So it's definitely a huge fight for Jan, as well as since theoretically she shouldn't be that far off from a title shot herself. Again, that fight with Marina showed how competitive she is. And then again, other than Carla, just a bad style matchup. So I'm definitely saying that Dern has more pressure, because I threw up a poll. Will Mackenzie Dern fight for a UFC title in 2023? Right now, our YouTube people are saying 54% yes. So slight lean that they think it'll happen. Again, 2023, it's a long, that could be the end of 2023. There's a long window, a lot of things that could happen that could open the door for Dern to fight for a title. So I think I would also lean towards that way. Like, there's a chance, but she does need to win tonight. On Saturday. I think a loss is going to push her back just enough that she won't be, as close to that little cluster at the top of 115 that she needs to be. So strong performance Saturday. She makes a statement no matter what happens with Rose and Carla and Zhang. A loss, especially a bad one, a convincing one like the loss to Marina, it'll set her back. And she has plenty of time to make it back to the top, so it's not the end of the world for her. But I think if her plan is to sort of capitalize on like her abilities now and really, really challenge for that title, I think she has to win on Saturday. So a little more pressure on Mackenzie Dern.
Jose, is this submission or bust for Mackenzie Dern when you look at it from a stylistic perspective? Because Jan and a lot of other people believe that they feel like Jan has the advantages pretty much everywhere else in this fight, but Dern's submission skills, I mean, that's like the A-plus thing. Is it that simple in your eyes, or do you feel like Dern has improved enough across the board to make you feel otherwise, the stand-up, etc.?
I mean, she definitely has the tool sets to win a split decision. I know she has a couple split decision wins, but those have been like three-round fights, right? Correct? I think, how many main events has she been in? One? And she lost to Marina, who is Marina's the man, especially with the striking. I think Marina did win fight of the night. So it was back and forth. Marina was just a step ahead of Mackenzie on the feet, and she wasn't allowing Mackenzie to implement her game. But then you saw, like, in the Verna Jandiroba fight, I think that was also a decision. Verna Jandiroba is obviously also an unbelievable submission artist herself. So they kind of canceled each other out, and Mackenzie just had better stand up against Verna Jandiroba. Now, does she have better stand up than Jan Janan, who actually has like a handful of knockouts? Not in the UFC. It's pretty much been all only decisions in the UFC. Has she had a stoppage win in the UFC? I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Jan Shannon?
Yeah.
It would have been a long time ago if she ever. No, she has not.
No, and she's beaten, like, but Jan Shannon's beaten, Claudia, Carolina, Angela, like, these are all, like, the best of the best of strawweight. So she's shown the ability to win unanimous decisions, not over five rounds. So I have a lot of questions. So if someone's going to get a stoppage win, I'm going to imagine it's Mackenzie Dern by submission. I don't know how Because you saw, like you said, Carla just ran at her and took her down immediately. If Mackenzie Dern does that in the first round, it's going to be a bad time for Yan Xiaonan. We haven't seen a whole lot of her Yan Xiaonan submission defense. So, sure. Yeah, submission or bust, I guess. I don't know if either, I haven't seen enough from either woman to warrant a unanimous decision over five rounds. There's too many question marks, if that makes sense.
AK, betting lines, according to our friends at DraftKings, Mackenzie Dern, minus 230, the favorite. Comeback on Yan, plus 190. Do you agree? Are you surprised by this?
No, I actually thought Dern would be a little bit higher. Closer to 300. I don't know if she was closer to 300 earlier in the week. I'm sort of with Jed Meshew, and I are always talking about two things a lot when like someone's favorite and we think like they could be more favored or to justify how favored they are. Does this fighter have an A+ skill, and is this fighter like a great athlete? And Yan Xiaonan's not a bad athlete either, but I think Mackenzie Dern, outside of maybe some questions about her cardio, I think has really, really high level athleticism, at least as far as explosive goes and like finishing ability. And then of course her jiu-jitsu is, you know, better than any skill a lot of women have at 115, right? So that's two big things in her favor. She did go the distance with Marina. Again, it wasn't a great fight for her, but she did go the distance, so credit to her there, I suppose. But yeah, she has those two big advantages. Yan Xiaonan, again, solid, well-rounded fighter. Just her not having a finish, being sort of nondescript in like as far as like how you know, whatever her strongest abilities are, that to me is always a little bit of a reason to stay away from like favoring this person or wagering on this person. So again, hey people, don't bet on MMA, but I do think the line is pretty accurate, could be higher. I think Mackenzie could be minus 250, minus 260, even closer to 3-1. So I don't know if money came in on Yan, because there's reason to believe she can win, but I guess we'll make our picks, official picks in a moment.
Yes, we'll do that right now. Jose, who you got?
Mackenzie Dern, second round submission.
I mean, I would love to just be a little cutesy with this, but I have the exact same thing. Mackenzie's going to get her down, and when she does, I think the fight's over. No disrespect to Yan. Mackenzie just does this to pretty much everybody. Like, Maria did a great job defending, and she was in some really tough spots, but Marina's also a very good jiu-jitsu player herself, and we realize how good her defense was. I don't think Yan Xiaonan has anywhere near as close of a defensive strategy and defensive tendencies that Marina Rodriguez has. So I think Mackenzie gets her down in the second round and then puts her away. AK, what say you?
Yeah, I'll go third round, I guess, just to be different. The one big problem for Yan is like she's kind of at her best when she can pressure a bit, kind of control the distance and pressure. And at some point, I feel like she's going to have to take a risk to get in there on Mackenzie Dern, because I don't know how, she just doesn't fight that great off the back foot. And once she gets within range and has to be aggressive, I just think it's going to go right into Mackenzie Dern's strength. And Mackenzie Dern, again, doesn't have the takedowns of Esparza. For sure, does not have the takedowns of Esparza. So that's a huge point in Yan's favor. But again, if Yan is going to be aggressive here and is going to try and win the fight her way, that actually might not work out for her. So I don't know. Yan, it sounds bad to say, might be able to win this one in a boring way, but I don't think that's the way she's going to approach this. And even then, even if she tried that, I mean, trying to win in a boring way doesn't always work well for the fighter attempting to do that, right? So I just think, Mackenzie's just way too dangerous. And that specialty of being able to take it to the ground and win, I have to go that way. So I'll just go third round. I'll say Yan is, you know, short up her defense a bit, but not enough to get past such a strong grappler in Mackenzie.
Rest of the main card, we get Randy Brown, Francisco Trinaldo, Hione Barcelos, Trevin Jones, Sadiq Youssef welcoming New England's Don Shaynus, John Castaneda, Daniel Santos, and the main card kicks off with a really fun fight. Mike Davis and Vyacheslav Borshev, Slava Claus, one of the best nicknames in all of mixed martial arts. So, Jose, before we get to Bellator, which we'll talk about in a moment, what's the low-key banger? What's the fight of the night? What's the one you have circled that maybe some of the newer fans might not be aware of heading into tomorrow?
I mean, on the prelims, it's got to be Jotko, Brandon Allen, because those are just like two really high-level martial arts at middleweight. Alexei Olenek going for the submission record is obviously really fun. Mike Davis is a really, really fun. He's lightweight, right?
Yep.
He's a really fun lightweight. How that man makes 155 pounds is beyond me. His first fight was, it was like short notice against Gilbert Burns or something like that, right?
Yep.
If I remember correctly. Then he had that banger of a fight against Mason Jones, and he was like crying at the press conference saying that he didn't know if he could still do it before this fight. So I'm always interested to see him fight just based off of that scrum, because he was like super emotional after that. And that was almost 2 years ago, and he hasn't fought since.
January of last year.
Yeah, it was almost 2 years ago. But I'll say, like, if I'm circling a fight, I think Randy Brown for Francisco Trinaldo is going to be super fun. Randy Brown has looked better than ever the last, like, what, year and a half, 2 years. He's really coming out of his shell, especially on the mic. He's only losing to the best of the best, like Vicente Luque, Nico Price, the Bilal Muhammads of the world. And then Francisco Trinaldo is the oldest 44-year-old I've ever seen in my life. It looks like he's 60. His first UFC fight was in 2012, and I'm pretty sure, I think he was on the Ultimate Fighter Brazil, if I remember correctly. Yeah,
and he's the middleweight.
And he's the only one left, in, I think, on the UFC roster from that season. So, and he's only lost to the best of the best, too. And I'm going to use lost because I think he definitely beat Alexander Hernandez in San Antonio. So, yeah, I'll circle that fight. I think that's just a really fun welterweight fight. And neither man's going to fight for the title anytime soon, but it's just a fun scrap.
AK, what do you think? What's the low-key banger? And I know how much you revere Christoph Jocko. We talk about him on to the next one all the time. Anytime he fights, the stakes are high. It is the battle for the 16th best middleweight in the world.
The most middleweighty middleweight. Jose took me back with the Trinaldo comments. I had to double check. Did he outlast the last people? He did. Yeah, he is the last guy from the inaugural season of the Ultimate Fighter Brazil, which featured such luminaries as Honey Jason, John Macapá, Bellator standout. It's been Bellator for a while now. John Macapá, John Teixeira. What else is in there? Hugo Wolverine Viana, Rodrigo Dam, former Strikeforce standout, Rodrigo Dam, and Godofredo Pepe. Cesar Muchant was on there. God, what a season. And Sergio Moraes, I missed that guy. So, somehow, quote unquote, 44-year-old. Francis, I tweeted the other day, oh, it's amazing, like, him and Olenek are both on this card, and I'll talk more about Olenek in a second, are almost combined 90 years old. I'm pretty sure, and I don't want to put Guy Cruz on this, I'm sure he can get the facts on this, but I'm pretty sure they're actually over 100 if we're using Trinaldo's real age, whatever that may be. They're probably over 90, excuse me. So anyway, yeah, Olenek listed at 45, Trinaldo listed at 44. But my low key, I mean, look, I'm really keeping an eye on that featured heavyweight bout, Alexi Olenek, Alir Latifi. Latifi really looking like a beefy beef boy at heavyweight. I love it. I'm sure he could still make light heavyweight if he wanted to, but why? Why bother? He's almost a 2-1 favorite, I think, going to this one. I can understand why. I talked about it earlier, like athleticism. Like, yeah, listen, this is a big deal. Even especially at heavyweight, athleticism, I think, matters. And we've seen Olenek lose to fighters who he's probably a better fighter than, but are just like younger and much faster and much more explosive than him. I think Latifi kind of falls in that category. He's never been submitted. So if Olenek were able to add him to the list, I think what 60 wins. How many submissions does this guy have? Like 40 that we know of? He has...
He has a handful.
47 career submissions. If he's able to become the first fighter to submit Alir Latifi, will tie Frank Mir for the most submissions by UFC heavyweight at 8, which is a record that has stood for a long, long, long time. So that would be amazing. But that's why I'm fascinated. I'm kind of with the oddsmakers. I think Latifi should be favored again, almost 2-1. But it's friggin' Olenek, man. This guy, I don't know. He finds a way with weird opponents sometimes. So great choice. Excellent work, Matrix, the officials, ESPN, everyone, UFC, making this the featured prelim. Such a fascinating, intriguing fight. And again, it's a weird card, so forget it.
Alexi Olenek is the first fighter on the UFC roster to fight in 4 decades.
Insane. I think he's going to make it to 5.
Wow.
I think he's going to make it.
50?
Yeah. I think he's going to make it.
Wow. I mean, you guys took a lot of... Joaquim Silva, Jesse Ronson is not going to last more than 5 minutes. So don't that's always that. Fun. No, those guys don't go to decision ever. It's going to end the first round. Randy Costa needs to win. very badly. He has to.
And he should win. And he should win
this one.
With respect to Ninja Kennedy, with respect to a guy who didn't, another guy over 40. We got a few over 40 guys on here. And I respect them all greatly. Randy Costa is a better fighter than this guy, I think. But we'll see.
So I'm looking forward to that one. Don Chaney in the UFC is pretty damn cool. I've been interviewing Don Chaney for like 6 years now, for a long time, since he was fighting for Cage Titans and going through the New England regional scene. So to see him fighting in the UFC is pretty cool. I'm
picking him for the upset. I am, Mike.
You are?
I'm picking him. +675 dog. Hashtag don't gamble on him. Especially don't bet on this fight, people. I would say do not bet on this fight. Though those odds are very juicy, though. +675, I will say. So if you're a regular bettor, bet wisely. If you're not someone who gambles normally, don't start gambling now on a +675 underdog. But I like what I've seen from him. I think he has like an annoying style, and I think he's kind of going to go out there and just like put it all on the line. Yusuf is like a great technical fighter. He's one of those guys, and I said this about Jake Matthews ahead of the fight where he lit up Fialho. I was like, is he a fighter though? Like, can he get dirty and scrap? And Jake Matthews passed that test with flying colors. Amazing performance in his last fight. So I want to see that from Yusuf too. I want to see Chaney kind of go at him, him uncomfortable, just kind of try and take him down, try and just really just annoy Yusuf. And I want to see if there's that beast in him, because Yusuf has a couple of first round finishes. He should theoretically put away a guy who's coming in on short notice again in Don Chaney. But I don't know. I kind of like Chaney's style. And Chaney's is not a small featherweight either. So I think his like grappling is really going to work out. I'm just going wild here. I think Chaney's going to get an upset win.
Wow. I mean, listen, he's got to come out strong right out the gate. I like his approach to the fight. I spoke with him a week ago, and he said, I got to come out quick because Yusuf's not a fast starter, and I am. So he's got nothing to lose. He knows it. So let's see if he could shake up the entire featherweight rankings, because that would be really interesting.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So let's head over to the LBC, Long Beach, California. Bellator 286 going down tomorrow night. Main event, Jose Patricio Pitbull puts his featherweight title on the line against Adam Boric. AJ McKee is not in the main event, but he's also fighting on this card. Are you surprised that both of these guys are fighting on the same card, but not fighting each other, Jose?
No, because Patricio Pitbull is the featherweight champion, and AJ McKee has said many times that it's hard for him to get to featherweight. And Patricio, if they're going to fight, like, I know AJ McKee's like, oh, I'll fight him at lightweight. And Patricio's like, I'm the champ of featherweight. Why would I do that? And then I know he was the lightweight champ at one point, but now his brother is the lightweight champ. So, like, why would I go up and fight you and give you more of an advantage? Like, so I guess I'm not surprised that they're not fighting each other if they're in different weight classes now. If this was, like, AJ McKee versus like Juan Archuleta at featherweight or whatever, or another featherweight, then it would be weird if they were both fighting at featherweight. But the fact that AJ is finally moving up to lightweight and like, go fight the other people, bro. You win. Like, if he wins, he's going to fight. Like, Benson maybe, because he has the, like, the time, father time's not on his side. Maybe he'll get the next, like, lightweight title shot sometime soon. Or you could do AJ versus Benson. Man, I haven't even thought about that till just now. That would be so much fun.
Good opening round for Grand Prix fight right there.
Oh, that would be so fun. But yeah, no, not a surprise, especially with AJ going up.
Do you like this fight, AK? Adam Borch is good, and I feel like he totally deserves this title shot.
Mm-hmm.
The betting line suggests he's getting a lot of love here. Although some money is coming in on Pitbull right now. The line's going up. He's a minus 150 favorite. Earlier today, it was close to a pick'em. But I feel like outside of the gambling community and the hardcore fans, Adam Borch is getting no respect here. He's getting no respect. Does he deserve a little bit more respect from the MMA community, in your opinion?
Yeah, I wish more people had watched his last fight. It was kind of buried on this, you know, fairly low hyped Bellator event this past March. It's one of the best fights of this year. I actually was gonna say, here's how much this event passed. I swore this happened last year. This main event fight with Mads Brunel. I actually did not remember it happened this year. Maybe that's also how time moves these days and the hellscape that is the 21st century. But I forgot this happened this year. So this is one of the best fights this year. I don't know if you guys can watch it for free in the US or on the Bellator app or whatever. I'm sure you guys have some way of rewatching it. People in Canada, we get all the Bellator shows on YouTube. So my fellow Canadians, if you have not seen Mads Brunel versus Adam Borch from Bellator 276, amazing 5-round fight. Great, great win for Borch. I thought Brunel was going to beat him. I just thought he's the older guy, but I mean, I'm so impressed by Borch. This guy is like, I think he's the real deal. I totally understand why people are, Brunel is younger than Adam Borch. Anyway, tripped myself there, but I totally understand why people are picking Borch here. It's has the makings of an upset. It does feel like there's a bit of a letdown for Pitbull now that he's kind of done with this AJ McKee feud. I mean, that took up so many headlines, so much of his energy. I mean, that was a feud that they were talking about. You know, it's not like it just happened when they fought. AJ wanted a fight with Pitbull for so long. So I don't know. I mean, Pitbull's been around forever. I don't think he needs that kind of drama and extra motivation to get up for a fight against a guy like Borch, 18-1, clearly very dangerous. But there's so much room for a letdown. And as Jose said, like, there was kind of a thought, like, aren't they just going to have these guys, you know, do the third fight, just resolve it that way? And so now that it didn't go that way, how's he going to view this challenger? I think he'll be fine. I'm certainly leaning towards Pitbull, but Borch has all the skills to get it done. And we've seen a lot of guys, not say come out of nowhere, but we've seen a lot of guys in Bellator kind of be homegrown and fight their way up and win a title without people realizing. Johnny Eblen's, I think, had a little more hype behind him, certainly when he fought Mousasi, but there's an example. Who was the gentleman who he also beat Mousasi for a title and then unfortunately had to retire? He's a really good grappler. Who am I thinking of here?
Lovato,
right? Again, these guys are hyped in their own way for sure. But, you know, sometimes they just come up and beat an established name and people look at it and go like, oh, wow, I can't believe Mousasi lost, or I can't believe Pitbull lost. Pitbull, when he lost to Daniel Strauss the first time, people are probably surprised. So could happen again. Could happen again at this stage. Again, I would lean Pitbull, but I don't think a Borch win should surprise anyone. If there's like a 49-46 decision win for Borch, I think people should just be like, wow, we really should have been paying more attention to this kid.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see Patricio just kind of get booed right out of that building tomorrow. That's going to be real fun and interesting to watch. And it's going to be a good fight. I like the main event. Borch is a huge featherweight, especially he's a very rangy, very tall, 145-pounder, moves very well. It should be a good fight. AJ McKee fighting Spike Carlisle. Jose, I'm sure you saw the video by now. McKee makes weight. Spike Carlisle misses by a pound, and then he goes back in to weigh in again. Says he's 156.6. Spike Carlisle is not happy. He's yelling, looking at the scale, saying, look, I'm not even on it. It's 0.2 pounds. All I asked is for 10 extra minutes to dry my hair, and I would have made weight. What did you make of this? Because I thought it was very strange. It was very weird, and Spike is typically a featherweight, and now he's missing weight at 155. It was just very strange. What did you think of that whole thing?
It's super weird. And I think a lot of people call for the digital scales. And I think this is like the big argument against it, because digital scales can, when you have just gravity with like the regular scales, and you like, I know we had the weird thing with Charles Oliveira and everything, but a digital scale can read wrong. Like you can't really hacker. I'm not saying this was hacked, but there's no electronics to mess around with on a beam scale. And, you know, there could be a cord just off loose. There could be a drop of water that's throwing something off. Or like he said, his hair was wet. So I think it's the big argument against digital scales. And I don't really have, I don't really care one way or another, but it was strange in the fact that this is Spike Carlisle. And he even said himself, he's like, I've never missed weight in my life. And we've seen this guy make 145 and now he's missing at 155. It's strange, and I don't know what to make of it. I get his argument, but if that's what it says, that's what it said. But this is the big argument against digital scales. Something can go wonky.
Yeah, very, very weird. AK, how excited are you to see AJ McKee at one? I know you're not a huge fan of giant weight cuts. You're a fan of people making weight. AJ hasn't had an issue, but you could tell he's had a very hard time getting down there. I think this is... I've been pretty critical of Bellator and their matchmaking in the past. I've not hid how I feel about some of the matchmaking at times, but this, for me, is excellent matchmaking. Superb. Picture-perfect matchmaking. Do you agree?
My best friend, I fully agree. I think I don't know how... I assume AJ McKee does want to stay at 155. Like we said, even as he was fighting as a featherweight, it was always a storyline that, like, he's going to move up. He has said, I will come back. Obviously he does want to fight Pitbull one more time. If it has to be a featherweight, so be it. But I could also see both guys just moving on from that. And we never see a third fight between them at 145 or at 155, entirely possible. So, it does feel like 155 is his future. I think he's going to look fantastic at the weight class. Again, it probably is just more natural for him. Spike Carlisle, very good choice of Bellator, former UFC guy, which is always nice. Has a respectable record, pretty exciting style. I mean, he's been involved in some wild ones in the UFC and outside the UFC. Let me put it this way: for a guy, his name Spike Carlisle, you would say that sounds like a guy who's been in some wild, unpredictable, bizarre fights. You'd be correct. He's just something always seems to be up for this guy. I guess even now at the weigh-ins. We've seen him now having, a verbal dispute with the scale. So for better or for worse, he's also been involved in the headlines for some other very bad reasons involving his social media. So the sum of all that, a good choice for AJ McKee, a very winnable fight for AJ McKee. Should AJ lose, I think this would be, I don't want to say catastrophic, but would be very, very bad for Bellator. I am remembering when we were having a debate after his win over the first Pitbull fight when he won, and thinking, could AJ McKee become this huge star and to lose like an odd fight, his lightweight debut to Spike Carlisle would be truly, I think, damaging to his reputation. Nothing that he can't fix. We've seen MMA fighters, many stars, take odd losses before, but this is designed to be a showcase fight for him in Long Beach, and he better take care of business, and I think he will. I'm thinking a first round finish for AJ.
Jose, more intriguing fight, the co-main event or the feature fight between Aaron Pico and Jeremy Kennedy?
Wow. Probably Aaron Pico, I think. I think he just draws attention. He's in that same, like he's like a like Bo Nickel. Like, who cares who he fights? People just want to see this kid fight. And he's looked unbelievable. Obviously, since teaming up with Brandon Gibson, I know we had that first fight against Borix when he had Greg Jackson. But that, he was kind of thrown to the fire right there, and Borix just kind of, that made Borix a star, that flying knee. So Pico is a guy that everyone wants to see fight for a title at some point. And he's, like, the way we describe Bo Nickel is, like, this guy carries himself like an athlete. Like, he's been, you can clearly see he's had media training and all this stuff. That's just, like, what we're talking about with Bo Nickel now, we were talking about with Aaron Pico, what, 3-4 years ago? Like, he was giving interviews and saying, he's like, oh, I'm going to model my career off George St. Pierre. And I know he lost his first fight, but then since then, has he ever been in a boring fight, whether he wins or loses? No. That cat is in an exciting fight no matter what, and he's looked better than ever. Those body shots he throws are unbelievable. So Jeremy Kennedy's a tough fight, a super tough fight for Aaron Pico. So I'm going to say Aaron Pico versus fill in the blank is usually going to be my answer.
Yeah, I think I'll get to you, AK, get your thoughts on this. But to me, Aaron Pico, Jeremy Kennedy is may not be the most high stakes fight of the weekend, but is the most intriguing fight of the whole weekend for me. Because Aaron needs this one. He's a win away. If Aaron Pico wins this fight, he's fighting for the belt. There's no doubt about it. He's fighting for the title. Agent McKee is not the champion. He's out of the division now. Pico's going to fight for the belt if he wins this fight. But the last time he's been in, like, sometimes he gets in these positions and it just becomes a little too much too soon. But I love what I'm seeing from Aaron Pico, AK. I think this dude's ready. And unfortunately for your fellow Canadian, I think it's going to be a pretty rough night for him. I think he's going to get tossed around in the air a little bit.
I think so too. But man, I don't like, I think the matchmaking here might be a little too good. I want to see Aaron Pico fight for a title. We all want to see that. What an amazing arc he's had from you know, the most hyped prospect in MMA before Bo Nickel came along, to losing his debut and then, you know, getting those, then running off highlight reel finishes, then losing a couple more fights to, I think, more seasoned opponents. And now getting on this run where, like we said, he should be one win away, barring something strange happening. But Jeremy Kennedy, I mean, his wins, he just beat Emmanuel Sanchez. I'm looking at some of his wins. Steven Seiler's a great veteran. He beat once upon a time. Kyle Boshniak. If you just want to compare like best wins, like most, his resume is stronger on paper than Aaron Pico. Now that doesn't mean anything as far as head to head goes. Do we have odds for this fight, Mike?
Oh God. Aaron Pico is one. Wow. It's actually way higher than it was. Aaron Pico, AK, -700.
That's high.
+510 for Jeremy Kennedy.
That's way too high. That is absurd.
That is out of control.
That's way too. That is Bellator. That is normally, if it wasn't Aaron Pico, if this was like some undercard fighter being like -700, I'd say bet the. I was like sprinkle $5 on the other person because those odds are insane. But it is somewhat justified. We have a lot more, at least, you know, if you're a regular Bellator viewer, you have a lot more data to work with Aaron Pico. You've literally seen this guy fight his entire career for this promotion. If you don't know who he is by now and what he could be, by the way, he's only 26 years old, then I guess you just haven't been paying attention. So I think -700 is a little crazy. Maybe I'm probably higher on Jeremy Kennedy than most. There's probably some Canadian bias. I admit to all these things. I'm a fan. But I do think -700 is a little crazy. But yeah, really good matchmaking. I just hope Bellator doesn't fall on their faces here and get this upset that's going to throw a wrench in the Aaron Pico train.
Aaron Pico is a bigger favorite against Jeremy Kennedy than Bobby Cerrone III is against Miguel Peinbert. And we know exactly what Bellator is trying to do.
Those are
matchmaking
names
for Bobby Cerrone III. He would be the biggest favorite on the card if Sumiko Inaba was not competing against somebody she already knocked out in 61 seconds, not that long ago. So, yeah, incredible betting line. We'll see what happens. All right, so we're going to open it up. I know some questions were coming in. I don't want to go all the way back. So if you have questions about either of these cards, go. We're going to take like 3 or 4 of them, and then we're going to get out of here. The rest of the Bellator card, as we await the questions to come in, main card's going to open up with a really good fight. It's now a catch weight at 141 pounds, or excuse me, a contracted weight between Juan Archuleta and Enrique Barzola. That should be a lot of fun. Islam Mamedov, Nick Brown is the featured prelim. Max Roshkoff against Mike Hamill. Max Roshkoff.
Yes.
Holy cow.
Damon Martin, our own Damon Martin spoke to Max Roshkoff. So please check out the entry. That's up live now on MMAfighting.com. And also Max Roshkoff, by the way, guys, 3-0. 3-0 since he left the UFC, fighting for Cage Warriors, the UFC. Oh, 2-0, excuse me. 2-0 fighting for Cage Warriors, their U.S. sort of, they've held a bunch of U.S. events. He's been on a couple of them, and he's won his fights. So he looks good. He was amazing. He is such an amazingly talented ground fighter. It is crazy. Like, his submission skills are so good. I would love to see if he can really still become something in MMA, and I don't see why he can't.
All right, we'll get some questions in. Any thoughts on one on Prime 2? I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think Phoenix Carnivale did a great job selling this card on BTL yesterday. If you are a fan, as Jose likes to be from time to time, of high-level martial arts, you're going to get lots of different martial arts on this card, and we get a hell of a main event featuring one of the best, maybe underutilized and underrated fighters in the sport, and Angel Lee. So, Jose, will you be tuning in to one on Prime Video 2 later on this evening?
Probably. I'll definitely watch it. I know there's a lot of other sports going on, but I'll definitely make a point to at least watch that main event. Like you said, Angela Lee's one of those fighters that, Angela Lee's one of those fighters that we've kind of been circling as like one of the better fighters outside of the UFC for a long time. And this is the third fight between them, right? In the main event. I always butcher the name.
Zhang Jingnan. Yeah, it is a trilogy bout. Yeah.
Yeah, and I love me some trilogies, so yeah, I'll definitely be tuning in. I'll be tuning into the main event for sure. The rest of the card, I'll watch, yeah.
AK, can we talk about Randy Costa's killer mustache?
We can, and did you also see his face-off?
I did not.
He did that. Well, he's got the mustache, so he had to do the classic.
He did. Yes,
the old timey boxer pose. So
amazing.
Yeah, he's truly living the gimmick.
Yes, absolutely fantastic. I think that was revealed for the first time on BTL. As a matter of fact, he came on as to take on Jed, and Jed was so intimidated by the mustache. What about one? We already talked about that. Jose, what's Aaron Pico's ceiling if there were no doubts about his chin?
I mean, even if you have doubts about his chin, Aaron Pico's ceiling is being a two-weight champion. He could be the champion at featherweight. He could be the champion at lightweight. That's his ceiling. He's that talented. And, like, who's he lost to? Henry Corrales, who he was winning until he just got clipped. And then Adam Borges, who is about to fight for the title. And then who was Zach Freeman? Yeah, that was just – he got thrown in Madison Square Garden 0-0. He just got caught against a veteran. Aaron Pico's ceiling as a two-way champion. Possibly if he goes to another org. Like, if you throw him into the UFC, he's already a top 15 featherweight. Like, that's how good he's unbelievable. Aaron Pico's ceiling is a two-way champion.
Yeah.
Whether he gets there or not, I don't know, but that is his ceiling.
AK, do you agree with that?
Yeah, and again, I don't even know if I would question the chin that much. I mean, yes, I know all his losses are by finish, but that's just honestly the nature of his style. The guy, he goes for the kill. I know it's a cliche, but... So a lot of fighters say it. This guy does it. He's really always looking for a knockout. He's always looking for a high reel. He's got a lot of style. And the guys he got knocked out by and finished by are finishers. I mean, these guys are finishers. So I guess you'd like to see a little more. It's not just the durability that bothers me. Like I said, a little more defensive awareness, a little more cautiousness. Will that take away from kind of what makes him special? Yeah, it could. So maybe there's a lot of people who don't want to see that. But again, yeah, I'm actually not as worried about his chin as some people might be.
Like, this is a weird comparison, but I get these sort of vibes from him at this point. Aaron Pico has a lot of like Tom Brady in him. And what I mean what I mean by that is, like, you know, kind of got thrown to the wolves early, had to struggle a little bit, came back, got with the coach, kind of got in. And then all of a sudden it's like, you could tell by the way he speaks. He's not the same guy anymore. Now, Brady being in Tampa, he's a little more loosey-goosey. He likes to pop a couple of pops before the parade and stumble around a little bit. But before that, Brady was the dude that's it's on to this. It's on to that. Wearing a suit everywhere. That's what Aaron Pico is. He is like the professional athlete MMA fighter right now. Before he goes and talks to the media, he's got to change. Even if he's a sweaty mess, he's got to go change into the new suit he's buying. All of his answers. I got to thank my parents, got to thank God, my coaches, and my manager. Talk to them. I ain't calling out nobody. Talk to those guys. They make the decisions for me. Very professional. It's like the movie Bull Durham. That's how Aaron Pico presents business. And he's good, man. He's real good. Let's see. I'll just bring this up. Everything the UFC is just trying to make a threat to the media by not allowing you guys to attend for one card just to flex their power. I don't think so either.
No, absolutely.
Literally, not. I don't feel that way.
The UFC would never, even if the UFC doesn't, like, there are reporters that Dana doesn't like that are still getting credentialed. Like, they're not doing that. There are also reporters that Dana doesn't like that aren't credentialed anymore, which is stupid too. But no, yeah. This isn't the case.
Does the winner of this, I assume the main event, fight Rose Namajunas for a number one contender fight? AK.
They should. I mean, Rose, whatever, you know, when she, take her time getting back, whatever she's doing. But when she comes back, whoever wins the Saturday's main event deserves a big fight. And I don't know if they're going to be the one that gets it or someone ahead of them. But yes, I think Rose has to get a win before fighting Carla again for the title. And she could certainly do a lot worse than Mackenzie Dern or Yan Shannon.
And that, and unless Rose goes up to 125, which is a possibility since she wants to hit the weights. So we'll see, Jose.
Also, she has two wins over the number one contender right now. If Weili Zhang wins, or Zhang Weili wins, and Rose is already 2-0 against her, like, just give her, like, she got a title shot, a third one, like, I wouldn't be surprised either.
What underdog most likely wins on the UFC card, AK?
I mean, listen, I said it. I'm so in on Don Shaynes. A more realistic one. Like I said, Olenek is an underdog to Latifi. Again, submitting Latifi has never been done before and will be extremely difficult. But it's Olenek. I mean, how can you bet against him submitting anyone? He's just, it's just, the guy just gets it done. So those would be my two picks. Daniel Santos is also an underdog to Castaneda, yeah. Right?
Yep.
I That's like actually that not a bad one either. Yeah. Daniel Santos is not a bad one. But I would put my top two choices would be, again, Shaynes, which I've already called, crazy pick, I know, and Olenek.
I like Brendan Allen as an underdog. I think he could win. Jesse Ronson at dog money in a fight. Hey, listen, that fight's not getting out of the first round. So that's dog or pass for me all day long. So let's see what else we got. Do we have anything else? I'll try to find one more question. There's a lot of spammy spam in here. Will Tapori get a replacement opponent since Barboza got injured? TBD. It's looking like they're trying, but.
Effort. Give him Terrence McKinney.
I actually like that idea a lot. That was a great call by Terrence. Last one. We'll end with this. Will AJ stay at 155 if he wins, or is he going to fight Pitbull at 145 if he beats Adam Borge? So if you guys missed it, our own Guillerme Cruz, the Brazilian beast, spoke with Patricio Pitbull, who said he's not planning on going up to 155. He's not planning on staying at 145. He's talking about moving down to 135, which is kind of stunning to see, but that's what the man wants to do. So if AJ, to me, AJ's staying at 155, right, AK? Like, I think at this point, it's a pet, like, unless he loses, but I don't think he's going to lose to Spike Carlisle, who essentially is a featherweight moving up to lightweight himself. So if AJ has a good performance and he gets thrown right into a Grand Prix, I just don't know if he's going to want to drop back down. If Pitbull's not going to, I don't know. It's weird. Do you think he stays at 155? That's the question. Do you think we'll see him fight a featherweight again in Bellator?
Bellator has made a mess of the AJ McKee situation from day one. So I guess what? I think they are going to randomly offer him and Pitbull saying, hey guys, one more fight at 145 for all the marbles. Then you two can do whatever you want. Pitbull, you can go down to 135. AJ, you go back up to 155. Vacate the title if you win, whatever. Either you guys can vacate the title. But let's do it one more time. Big fight to open up 2023. AJ McKee and Pitbull. Maybe they can start building the hype tonight. Both guys get a. I keep saying tonight. Some people listening, it'll be tonight. On Saturday, both guys get a big win. I don't know. Coker makes some non-committal thing about, hey, listen, both guys look great. I think it only makes sense to match them up again. Let's do it. So I think, yes, they will fight again one more time at 145. AJ McKee is not quite done there, but his long-term future, definitely at lightweight.
What do you think, Jose? Oh, I'll bring this up real quick. Jose, when's your next episode of Anything But Fighting? The show is great.
Stay tuned. We got a couple pans in the, couple swords in the fire. Just fighters, get back to me. Fighters, when I message you and you respond, don't take 3 days to respond. Anyway, just stay tuned. What was the initial question?
Will AJ stay at 155 if he wins, or is he going to fight Pitbull at 145 if Pitbull beats Adam Borge?
I think it's going to depend a lot on what Bellator's plans are moving forward, especially with this Grand Prix they're going to do. Like, if they give AJ McKee Patricky Pitbull in like the first round, go do that. Because like we talked about AJ and Benson fighting in that first round, I would honestly want to do Pitbull versus Benson in the first round because Benson's timeline of his career is shorter. So I want to squeeze in one more title fight. Benson has also called out Patricky for a fight in Brazil. So if Bellator is ever going to go to Brazil and you got to throw both Pitbull brothers on it. And they want to do AJ versus Patricio 3 in Brazil. I think that would be fun, especially considering, you know, their first fight was in Englewood where AJ is from and Pitbull, you know, get that third fight in Brazil. Benson's also called out Usman Nurmagomedov to fight in Russia. Probably not going to happen given the climate of the world. But my gut says he's going to stay at 155. He struggled to make 145 even when he was fighting there at the end. I don't see him moving back down for anything. Like, he won $1 million in a featherweight tournament and then had to fight the guy again. I don't think he's going to want to do it again unless it's like another for another $1 million.
Yes.
What's the point of tournaments if they're just going to give, they're just going to run it back?
What's the point of so many things that happened in Bellator, Jose? Come on.
True.
we love you anyways, Bellator. We love you, Bellator.
That was a very Scott Coker answer. You know, we'll see. I'll tell you in a couple of months.
Touche. All right, we're done. We'll be back tomorrow, 3:30 Eastern. We're going to do the People's Pre-Fight Show. We'll talk about both of these cards or whatever the hell else you want to talk about. Then the UFC will be happening. Casey will actually be in the building for Bellator 286 tomorrow. And then we're going to do a post-fight show. The plan is right after the UFC main event ends. But if this is like the most insane Bellator card of all time, and we just get these fights finished in a matter of seconds and all of them, and the timing lines up to do a combo, then we will. But if not, we'll just talk UFC and we can all enjoy the Bellator card together. But until then, everybody, for AK, for Jose, I am Mike Heck. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.